in town you never heard of.
Hey everybody, welcome to the Common Folk Podcast with Ben, Morgan, and Andy.
Welcome back to Common Folk
Podcast for the people, by the people.
It's been a minute.
It has.
We haven't been in the studio for,
feels
what,
weird.
I don't know, 10 days
like
or so.
Yeah,
I was missing you guys.
We missed.
That sounds so sincere.
We missed last week as far as recording, but we've got episodes we recorded,
right.
So those
yeah.
came out.
Yeah.
And then this one will actually come out this week, probably today.
Yeah.
Whoa. Yeah. Andy,
we can do
that. Gonna be that quick?
We can do that. We can do that.
Oh, and you know what?
Today or tomorrow.
I'll make your life easy. I'll try and keep it short and sweet. Hey, I'm used to known to be rambling on.
I don't mind short and sweet.
I don't have my paper, like my pad.
Do you want to?
No.
You wanna be someone?
No, it's okay. It just feels a little weird.
Well, what'd you do? Then?
I don't know. Oh,
you just do what our group does. We just play everything.
Hand or something.
Sure. Okay, so there was like a lot of treacherous weather around here.
Mm-hmm.
I did not see, was that elsewhere or was that just Nebraska?
No. So,
because obviously this pod goes to all 50 states and countries, but.
Yeah, and a lot of the states got smashed the day before.
Oh, they did.
And that
okay.
was national news. And
gotcha.
Yeah, like, okay. I don't know, this last couple of systems.
Well, I can give you a pretty good definition of what happened between the Dixon, Illinois, all the way to Lincoln, Nebraska. That's where I've been traveling the last week, and it has been a treacherous little trip. A lot of miles covered.
Down south got hit pretty hard, too, different areas. So,
yeah,
it was a national thing, but Nebraska's unique in that, well, one of my broadcasting buddies, he was golfing in Beatrice, Nebraska, and it touched about 80 degrees was the high, and he took a selfie, like, on tee off box hole 4 or something like that. And then he went back a day later to do a news hit for the weather, and it was like already 4 inches of snow, and it was coming in sideways. Like it was just crazy. In the golfing pic, he was in shorts and a polo, you know. So like,
yeah.
And it was whatever. It was like a 14-hour difference.
That's insane.
Yeah,
that's crazy.
What was it here? We, I mean, the day before we were like 70 right?
something.
Yeah,
yeah.
I mean, it was nice.
It was.
We went, buddy of mine. And I went down to Kansas City. We picked up a truckload of smoking wood. And then we went to the Boulevard Brewing facility.
Okay.
Sat out on their deck.
Yeah.
Got a couple of drinks.
Fun.
Yeah, it was
go.
Nice. We're like, man, this is a nice day. And then very next day, shit.
Yeah. 3 inches of snow, sleet. Yeah. Schools closed down.
Yeah.
The whole nine yards.
But,
right.
I mean, it's going to be like almost 50 today and then 60s this weekend. You guys, what is this about? Is this what they talk about, global warming?
Welcome to Nebraska, where everything changes in a matter of 5 seconds.
Yeah.
Right. We covered this on one of our earlier podcasts. It might have been like in year one when, I don't know, it was like what the hail, you know, and it was Nebraska weather. And, you know, I kind of dove into how we are consistently where the north cold front coming down out of Canada meets the warm front coming up from the Gulf.
I remember that. But I feel like it's getting, honestly,
worser?
No, random worser, if that's a word, but I
worser,
feel like it's getting warmer sooner. And I'm game for that.
But it's also like snowing and everything else. It just seems like everything shifted almost 2 to 3 months because we used to have the winter time.
Yeah.
It hit about December, January, February. Then it kind of went to January, February. Now we don't even get anything until March. I mean, we're getting tornadoes on Christmas.
Yeah.
True.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's
it's weird.
For
sure.
Well, who's this guy that's
show.
Talking?
Yeah,
I don't
so we
know.
Had a we
Has
had a guest.
Else figured it out?
We had a guest lined up for today, and we thought we were pretty sure the weather was going to ruin it. But you you made the trip. You drove right through a big part of where all the stuff hit.
Mm-hmm.
We've got Chandler Buck here today with Bucked Up Productions.
Hello,
welcome, welcome.
Well, thank you for having me.
Yeah, thanks for making the drive. How if you didn't have a bunch of crap weather, how long would the drive have been?
Roughly about the 5-10 minutes faster. Just kind of depends
but
on
I mean,
the route.
But I mean, total, where are you? How far are you from here?
I think it's like an hour 14.
Okay.
Oh, that's not bad.
And you said you're just north of Lincoln, Nebraska, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
I don't know why I thought you were in Iowa.
Well, the amount of time I usually spend over there with those guys. It
yeah, and it's his, it's his buddies that we've been talking to that are in
the
Iowa.
The old Hilbert brothers.
Yep. So couple of things. One, how we met you was recently through the Farm Focused website, chatting about doing merchandise for your brand, mm-hmm. and learning a little bit about what you have done over the past and what you're trying to do and so on and so forth. So we've been working on the shop page internally here at Farm Focused and working on merchandise samples and all those kinds of things. Since you were close enough, you know, we thought, and you thought, hey, why don't I come down and see the facility? Why don't I see how this all works? And we said, perfect. That sounds great. And while you're here, why don't we do a podcast?
Go ahead. Suck me up to the mic. Let's go.
Yeah. Yeah.
I need to get back into rhythm. I haven't touched a computer or anything technologically based in a couple days.
There you go.
Back
yeah. Into it. And I think you've got an interesting backstory from, you know, as far as compared to most of the folks that we talk to. Mm-hmm. We do this podcast weekly, obviously, and I don't think we've ever interviewed anyone that is really doing what you're doing or kind of been building what you're building. So definitely interested to find out. So what I'm going to – let's see. How are we going to handle this? First of all, what I want to say without – I don't want to let the whole cat out the bag, but let's say just give me a quick glimpse of what you're doing today, how – like – You're running a business. What is the business? Basically, like, how do you make money, essentially? Like, what are you doing day to day? And then we're going to rewind.
Ooh, that's good.
So a lot of the stuff when it comes to YouTube, YouTube is my main primary source of business.
Okay.
But all of that started because I was working with the Hilbert brothers. You mm-hmm. kind of – that's a whole can of worms on itself on yep. how I got into this. But YouTube pays through the AdSense. I'm doing the exact same stuff as, say, the Welker boys, mm-hmm. Zach Johnson. Mm-hmm. Grant Hilbert, any of those guys that have YouTube, that is how we get paid. That is through Google AdSense. Whenever you click on a video and mm-hmm. you get the advertisement mm-hmm. in the front, that's how they're getting mm-hmm. paid. Now, when I do my own company, there are multiple ways that people can always say, hey, how do I run a channel? How do I make this thing work? How do I make the most amount out of this? And there's no real right answer to this. Everyone mm-hmm. does it differently. And the way I do it is probably the more strenuous version of that because I do not outsource any of the work that I do. The only thing that is managed by someone else nowadays is my business emails. Whenever I'm contacted, unless I gave it like the one I gave to you guys, that's my own personal business
gotcha.
Email. But the regular ones, they all go to that. I do my own editing. I do my own set production. I do the own filming. Everything from goes to my head to the out production that goes out the channel. That is all pretty much done by me from top to bottom.
Okay.
What about thumbnails? You don't outsource thumbnails?
Nope. I do all of my Uh-oh. Own thumbnails.
Okay. All right. Okay. All right.
So.
But I have gotten – there's one specific program that I've been working with now. I'm partnered with them, and it has helped me tremendously yeah. from even just 4 months ago, and that's yeah. Spotter Studio. I don't know if you guys have ever heard of them.
Not
they
I.
They are backed by one of the big founders, and backed by them was Dude Perfect.
Okay.
So I talked with them, sent in a review, and they contacted me going, hey, we heard you reviewed the product. We want to try it out because they gave me a 60-day free trial originally when you go through someone's certain link.
Mm-hmm.
And that's with title generation. It also comes with like prompt ideas that you can use for videos. And then the other one is thumbnails. Now, I've used thumbnail assets from this because
it
can be
– yeah, that's what I'm getting at.
But 90% of the time, our thumbnails for the game – my main content's based on Farming Simulator. You mm-hmm. just go into the game and you take a picture of what's going on in the shot. Mm-hmm. That's the thumbnail.
Yeah.
And I just mm-hmm. add on
– someone's phone going
off. Yeah. Is that me?
Oh, it's mine.
It just vibrates.
He's a busy dude.
Oh, yeah. No, I hear you.
He's like Adam Schefter has his phone, like three different phones going off.
It was my aunt. I'll call her back after this.
But real quick, what I wanted to get with that is you're in a space there where you need to be clickbaity, but you still need to be honest and tell the story that you're trying to portray, but you got to get those clicks. And the more you kind of dive into that, your thumbnail is so freaking important.
It is.
You know?
And it's kind of hard to figure out what market you really sit in because mm-hmm. since my main line of content is simulation farming, you can play the system to do what
right.
you want.
Yeah.
But you have to be careful because the second you get slightly out of line from what the algorithm wants, mm-hmm. you could have the most perfect video, the most perfect title, the most perfect thumbnail doesn't do anything because mm. it's not in your niche. But for stuff like working out with Hilbert's, working out on these trade shows where I'm traveling to Illinois with my buddy Andy from Andy Clean,
mm-hmm.
I can pitch that just right with the thumbnail title on this, yeah. and it can float right into my simulation stuff, so it'll do just as good, maybe yeah. a little under par compared to a regular.
I just want to make the point that you've passed the point where you knew you had to level up on some of those things, mm-hmm. like thumbnails. you're talking about title generation, getting AI involved with that, I'm guessing.
Yep.
Yeah, the best thing to do is ask Google, because Google owns YouTube. And what do they want to hear from themselves?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Google likes Google, I've found yes. that out. Yeah.
They like themselves.
Yeah, because yes. Andy does a lot of our production. He's in
he does all
your,
of it.
Well, yeah, but yeah. in all your stuff, I guess I was thinking about on mm-hmm. Chasing the Dream.
Yeah, and other things.
Yeah.
Yep. So what I was going to ask, and you touched on it, obviously, so you're doing a lot on YouTube, and the main bit of your content is playing Farming Simulator on YouTube, right?
Yep.
So essentially, how's that set up? Like, you have something connected to your screen that is streaming that to the YouTube video, and then you're talking in the background, or how's all that work?
All of it is played by ear when it comes to, we don't have a script 90% of the time. We mm-hmm. put an outlook on what we want to do. So say the purpose of today's video is we're going out and we're harvesting corn.
Mm-hmm.
So we get on, it's just like any other game that you're playing. Sorry, my phone's buzzing again.
No, you're good.
When we start the production, it's like you get on your laptop, you get mm-hmm. on your computer, however you want to play it. You get in the game, play it like regular, but you kind of have to have a beefed up desktop, because sure. what we're playing, it's not your average $500 Best Buy mm-hmm. computer ain't gonna be able to handle it. We have OBS, Open Broadcasting Software. That's what we use to record. You get the mic systems going, whether you put it through a mixer. Those things are called Go XLRs. I know just enough to be dangerous. I have a microphone that plugs into the side of the computer, and I put a few little fancy filters on.
Mm-hmm.
That's how you pick up the mic. Recording picks up the video, and we just talk, play by ear.
Yep. So he does what like Joel will watch.
Right.
But farming.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah.
And is that like Sim City, but farming? Is that what? Is
I feel
that,
like
is
that's
that
kind of the next
it's,
generation.
It's
though,
more
yeah.
open world stuff, yeah, where you can just walk your player around and make him oh. do things. You can get in the combine. You can get in the truck.
So who makes that?
Final
is that Giant Software.
Guy?
Not
yet.
Okay.
Giant Software is the guys behind that game. But they've already had, I think this is going on 15, 16 years, because their first game came out in 2009 that was like on the desktop itself. Actually, 2008.
So it's like Final Fantasy, put down the battle axe, pick up a pitchfork.
Pretty much, except so it's a chainsaw or a horse brush.
There you go.
So are you the only one that does this, or like do you play?
With others?
Yeah.
Grant Hilbert's the one that did it. My buddy Jake, always known as the Formal Pickle, he does it. Austin Ruther, other known as Austin Farmer, he does it. We all are in this group, and we all started together back in like 2019.
I got
so
you.
So we've been doing all of this, and then Grant wanted to get more into the real farming, so
yep.
he shifted assets, did stuff, and now he's almost, I guarantee within 2 years, he'll be full-time farmer.
Yeah, that's an interesting story in and of itself. But so yeah, and to Morgan's point, like when you're doing this, when you're recording and you're broadcasting on YouTube, or you put the video on YouTube or whatever, it's you and some other guys that are in other places in the world
yep.
Playing together on that game and doing your thing.
Yep.
Yeah. And you can talk to them.
We talk through Discord. That's what we use as our main communication source.
I see.
But once we get all of our stuff done, we've been shifting around programs that we use. But when I go into editing, I use DaVinci Resolve. I just ended up swapping over from that from FX Home's Hit Film. Now, I never went to college. I graduated high school, and I went straight to just what I've been doing. I mean, I started this when I was a little late into sophomore year of high school, and that whole thing, again, it's a whole story on its own. But basically what Grant and my buddies told me on Black Friday sometime in 2018, mm-hmm. I'm sitting on my chair in my bedroom, and he goes, "All right, if you want to run with us, we need to get you the equipment to do it." And next thing you know, the computer that's still sitting in my office to this day is that same computer.
Damn, that must be a good computer.
It's been gutted and upgraded since.
Okay.
Ben's please tell me so I can get the same one.
So you started touching on it, and all right, that's what I want to do now, because I want to come back and kind of talk about how this whole YouTube thing works, and it's super interesting. But before we get into that, I want to go all the way back to Little Chandler. I want to talk about how you came up, and then kind of how all this developed. So where did you grow up?
Same town I live in.
Okay.
And it's just, I never wanted to really leave. I mean, I've moved three times over the course of six blocks. When I graduated high school, because my parents split in 2016.
Okay.
I always told them, and we all agreed at this point, like it was meant to happen. Mm-hmm. It needed to happen. Mm-hmm. There were people that were having things going on, just wasn't going to work.
Sure.
Well,
how old were you when that?
might have been in eighth grade, so
okay.
I mean, I think it's
14, 15, somewhere
in somewhere in that ballpark. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, actually, that was 9 years ago now. Wow. Okay. I'm 22 now, so yeah, 15, somewhere in that. Mm-hmm. And when I split, I was still kind of just playing the computer at some point. And I mean, growing up, mainly, I wasn't the jock. I wasn't the stud. I mean, I was...
Yeah, tell me about that. Yeah, like what did you enjoy? What were your hobbies when you were a kid?
I've always been a guy that likes to just tinker with my hands. I mean, my dad would buy me a truck from Toys R Us and comes home, and if they left me alone for 3 hours with a screwdriver I already had at the park.
Mm-hmm.
And I put it back together, and of course I'd be missing two screws, so I couldn't attach the door, but that's besides the point.
Yeah, yeah.
Legos, I mean, I always loved to just figure stuff out, regardless of what it was, just tinker around.
Yeah.
And then guy came along the Grand Theft Auto franchise.
Okay.
Now my parents were not, they're like, they didn't want me playing that. I mean, we all know why. I mean, when the game's just based upon you going out and shooting the guy on the sidewalk,
right. Yeah.
Probably not great for a kid.
Okay, let me stop. There's a lot more to it than just killing hookers and getting a little bit of money and stealing their car.
See,
there's
I like to play it. That, okay? I like to play the versions called 5M, where those guys, I mean, if you've ever heard of any of them, it's got like Barry Bugs, Jeff Faviano, and Polcat and all these guys. They played this where you got a guy who's actually in the cop car, he'll pull you over, he'll write you a ticket.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, that's how I met my buddy Jake, the Fumble Pickle. And originally...
So you, to put this together, so this was your first... This was like when you first started getting into like electronics and gaming was through Grand Theft Auto?
Not necessarily. A lot of it used to be I watched stuff, but then my buddy who I graduated with, I haven't really talked to him in a while. I really should try and reach out to him at some point. He introduced me to Farming Simulator. This was probably 2 years before that because it was FS 2013. I mean, that's what got it all started.
That's my pager. I need to shut that thing off.
I was saying, there's a fire call going on here.
So you were hooked after that then? Once you were introduced to Farmer Simulator, you were hooked?
Well, I liked Farming Simulator, but there was one thing that in particular that really kickstarted the career, and that was when you got into the modding. Now, modding is where cool people on the PC platform, when they played there, you could have Ford, Chevy, Dodge, Peterbilt, Mack, all of these licensed brands that Giants never had.
Okay.
But the problem with those is that on Farming Sim stuff, if you're on console, you cannot do that, nor can you get these third-party mods.
You can only do it on the computer.
Mm-hmm. And then you got another roadblock of there are people that just don't want you to have cool stuff, or you got to pay for it. So I'm scrifting around on all these Facebook modding groups going, man, this would be really cool to have some of this stuff. You know what? Mm-hmm. Screw it. I'm going to do my own. I'm going to learn how to do this.
So modding is you're programming your own thing into it?
Yeah. So picture a 3D CAD model of the Chevy pickup sitting out in the driveway. I can take a 3D CAD model of that thing, pull it all apart, make it ready for the game engine, and then code it to honk the horn, turn the wheel, and drive down the highway doing 165 miles an hour.
So when you're playing this game, you're obviously playing with all your buddies and everything, and then all of a sudden you show up with that truck. And they're like, oh, dang, where'd you get that or whatever?
Well,
is that how it works?
In any other game, the way they have the transfer, but Farming Sim's kind of still behind the times of everyone has to have the exact same game files in order to be playing in the same room.
Okay.
So they would have to have it too, but then I can just show up and say, hey, you guys want a really cool truck? And then I'll put in one of my prized projects from 22 for Farm Sim 22 was an 81 to 86 square body Chevy. Nice. GMC 1500 to 3500, single wheel, dual wheel, I mean the whole nine yards.
I would have to assume everyone drives a James Moose tractor.
He probably doesn't know about James Moose. It's still on the come up. We'll tell you about James Moose down the road.
But the point I was getting to, so like, are you boxed, are there brand names then, or are you just boxed into a green tractor, no name?
No, they actually do have a bunch of licensed brands. Okay. They got one of the first people to reach out to them, and this is why Grant, when he did all the American farming stuff with Squad Built, was Case IH.
Mm-hmm.
Originally, Farm Sim is... It's a German-based company, so they had Deutzfahr, they had Lamborghini, they had
Klaus.
I believe it was like Lindair or something. Just a bunch of like more European-based brands.
Mm-hmm.
Well, then they came out with the it was the Titanium Edition, and that was a bunch of. I mean, you had a Farmall Super M, the Case Quadtrac, and the Steigers. I mean, they put in the Axial Flow Combine. It was awesome. They had an American map, and that just kind of sparked it. Well, John Deere, being John Deere.
Mm-hmm.
They were a stickler and held out for another three game titles before they were, of course, the face and the launch of Farm Sim 2019. Okay. And after that, all these people that were just kind of trying to find or make models of John Deere's, that kind of went away because now Giants has had actual in-cab built models, and people just build versions off of that.
So what I like about this that I didn't realize is, you know, as someone who doesn't do this, I've never a lot of this was kind of after I grew up, really. But I look at it and I think, man, you know, all these kids want to do these days is just play these video games, and you know, and you automatically go to these things like they're not even doing anything. It's rotting their brain, you know, whatever, blah blah blah. And then you hear these stories like this where no, there's actually like some really involved interaction where you're like getting involved in like programming and building your own stuff and all these kinds of things. That's kind of cool.
Yeah, and along those same lines, this was probably about 15 years ago. I was just listening to this conversation between my brother-in-law and his grandmother's new boyfriend.
Nice.
Oh, okay.
Setting the stage here. Okay. And he's a pretty wealthy guy, right? And he was talking, they were talking about golf, and he was talking about, oh, I just, you know, my favorite course is Pebble Beach. I probably golfed out about a dozen times a year. You know, I got a membership there, yada, yada, yada. And then my brother-in-law started talking to him about individual holes. Like, well, I really like the bend in hole four or whatever it was. And they're getting really detailed with that. And I have to, but I'm like, Luke, you never played Pebble Beach. What the hell are you talking about? And he goes, Tiger Woods, bro, I play that all day, every day. And so they were able to have this conversation, like what you're saying. He was able to gain that knowledge and knew every little thing that Murray was talking about as far as that
golf
course.
And he hadn't even been there.
Just
played through simulation.
Yep, been there a million times, though, on Tiger Woods PGA 2005 or whatever it was.
Oh, yeah. Gotta love it.
So, all right, so back to you started doing this and you got introduced into, you know, the farming simulator and that kind of thing. Was that when you were in high school when you started doing farming?
Yes.
Okay.
I tell people, because I started doing all this in about 2018, officially had a channel as of 2019.
And what year did you graduate high school?
21.
Okay.
Now, when I graduate, the thing I tell people is, again, I started all this stuff in like 2018, 2019. I did not actually have an own and run a business until October of 23.
Okay.
Because for the entirety of that time, I had been coattailing and dragging my rear off of someone else's pot for the longest time.
Yep.
And like, I never like reached out, tried to build a business, I was just lazy. And with Squad Built launching American Farming was probably the best thing that ever happened, because there were two major events that went down that it was either sink or swim. And I luckily chose to swim. Oh boy. not a fun time in life. Let me tell you, there's some reminders on that one that I have to this day. They've kept me sane.
So when you were approaching graduation, like how much graduation from high school, how much time do you think you were spending on this gaming and YouTube?
Far more than I ever did my homework.
Yeah.
So a lot.
So with that in mind, did you have like plans or any idea of basically what you wanted to be when you grew up?
If I was not doing what I was doing right now, I would have went with my best buddy, who is going to be one of my best men at the wedding. We were both going to go to Milford for automotive stuff and just kind of work through our ways of either auto body, mechanic, engineering, diesel, all of that. We were going to do that, open up a shop together. And then the thing about YouTube is that I never picked that job. That job picked me, and I just had to answer the call. But so you also had to grow up enough to know what's going on.
Right, yeah. So that goes back to what you were talking about, like early in life when you like to tinker with things and take stuff apart and all that. You still have kind of that desire.
Oh, I always do.
Yeah. So you get involved in the farming simulator heavily, and then you say you started a business in 23. So how did that all come about?
It's more, I've always had it,
mm-hmm.
but I never took it seriously. And that's the story behind why it is to me is always why I'm like, this is, anybody who asks, what does it take to do this?
Mm-hmm.
It's not you just get on after school at 3 o'clock and just hit a record button with your buddies. It can be that simple, but it's a business. It is. I mean, there's times I log on at 6-7 o'clock in the morning, and I do not shut that computer off till 2:30 the following morning.
Mm. Oh my gosh.
And you're talking about streaming, right? You and your friends. So
I stream like once a weekend on Saturdays, and that's just something more of the consistency. I used to never stream at all.
Oh, really?
So then what are you doing this whole time?
I'm making the videos, the long form.
Recording. Just,
yeah,
you're
just, I got
you're
you.
Playing the video game. So, okay, so in my head, see, I was envisioning that you and your group of guys, you'd all log on at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
And then you'd be like, all right, we're going to this field in Iowa and we're going to farm it. So you're driving the grain truck. I'm doing this. I'm doing that. But that's not quite, that's not the right picture.
I mean, we almost do it just as normal as the average farm would. So if we already have an idea that my mm-hmm. farm, like our most popular series right now on my channel for that is Bucked Up Hay. Bucked Up Hay is I run a cattle dairy farm that also does a lot of hay bales, silage and grass straw. But everyone else is running big row crops. So when I get all of my grass baling and preparation done, I'm just sitting there doing nothing. So I call up Grant just saying ring ring on Discord and he goes, hello? I'm like, hey, I'm done with baling. You need help doing something on that? He's like, yeah, if you can come down here and run the cart, that'd be awesome. So I just like, all right, guys, we're going to go help out Grant Hilbert. We'll just pop in the truck and pff, down the road we go. And nice. The next thing you know, I just transfer the shot and I'm sitting in the cab of an 8R.
So it's like, yeah, it's like you're just going through real life.
Mm-hmm. But we're just doing it digitally. And I'll tell you what, it's a lot faster than the real thing, too. You can just hit the tab button to get 14 miles down the road. That's real convenient.
Yeah.
Do you ever have to like cut and
oh, yes.
redo it
A
million times?
Particularly even in my own shots.
Oh, really?
We could have those videos tend to be a lot longer. They usually be anywhere from about 20 minutes to even up to 45. The 45-minute videos are like almost 6 hours worth of footage you have to sift through.
Oh, wow.
See, and you got a level of safety there, too, because like I ran a windrower for much of my younger life, mm-hmm. and a lot of those hay fields were along the highway or a heavily used gravel road.
Mm-hmm.
So whenever one of my windrows would get a little squiggly, you know, whether I was going through my M3, P3 player, you know, getting to the song I wanted, everybody in the county would drive by that and let me
everybody
know.
Everybody like, and their mom needed you to go.
Yeah, like, oh my God, what were you doing on that one, buddy? Or, you know, oh my God, you know, when you're stacking hay, you know, you can get a little sideways.
Oh, yeah.
I would always hear about that. So you can just go ahead and hit backtrack or whatever.
Cut.
But I think that would be real life if you like did kind of mess up. Do you mess up?
Oh, absolutely.
Okay, because I'm like, that
times
would be relatable.
In there for some odd reason. Well, what was the one? We were having problems where one of the modifications we had in there was script-based. It wasn't like something you could just hit the go to the store and buy. I think it was either store deliveries or something. And Grant was trying to buy an auger for his bin site. And it just, you could see it in the picture. He just buys, like, okay, guys, I'm buying the auger now. And you look to the left and you see the auger go fall right through the map. And it just, where'd that go?
Because
something
goes away.
Wasn't. It just, yeah.
Oh, really?
It literally fell through the bottom of the map. Like, nothing was wrong with anything. Nothing visually, it just fell right through the map. And you could see it just right over.
Hmm.
And then I was driving about 5 minutes later, my buddy Nate, who he's a whole story on his own as well. I'm just raking hay. I'm getting the stuff ready to go. And he's loading the other bales on the trailer. And you just see all like 8 round bales just fall through the trailer and fall off the map. And we're like, oh, you can't buy those.
Lost the bales.
Yeah.
Everything.
They're
so
gone.
When you're talking about like buying things and stuff like that, how do you, like, what's the currency? How do you have money on the game?
In-game currency. Farm Sim's one of the nicest games when it comes to how you do that. Like, lots of the mobile ones, you got to spend 15 real dollars to get 3,000 gold coins.
Mm-hmm.
Now, Farm Sim, it's as simple as you can just get, I mean, even on the console, you can get a mod where you can just set the money to what you want. You can make it be like a sandbox game where you can do whatever the heck you
want.
But
the mod, you have to buy the mod?
It's against the rules. It's against the game's terms and service to charge for a modification other than a downloadable content, which is the DLCs. And those come from the game developers themselves. But for most mods, the only way people can charge for them is if you're, one, selling them like for your time that you did that,
mm-hmm.
or you were charging – I can't remember what it was. But unless if you're putting an actual product behind a paywall – that's technically against them. So you're supposed to be free.
I see. So if you, are you able to, like, sell your crop and stuff like that and build up your bank with that? Okay.
Now, Farm Sim's money system is a little crazy. You're going to like this one, and especially the farmers around here. When I take in a full load of 24 big silage bales, like big round bales, even a load of hay bales, that's like $25,000 to $65,000. You're selling a bale for $3,000. Heck yeah, we're making a lot of money doing that.
Uh-huh.
But then I have another series that the money's like not as crazy, and a trailer of those bringing like $1,500.
What does that come to a ton then?
A ton?
Yeah, yeah. Because I mean, when I was growing up, it was like $98 a ton. You're doing pretty good. Doing pretty good with that. And that's not even in the ballpark anymore.
That stuff is far beyond me. I know how to tweak all that stuff to make it. There was one series I did back, and again, we're playing Farm Sim 25 now. That's the game that's out. That's what we're making our content on.
Mm-hmm.
But in 22, I had a farm based on a map called Green Valley, Nebraska. Now my uncle, I always call him my uncle, but I think he'd be more of my great uncle. He has a farm down by Humboldt Table Rock. And I always called that farm on that series called the Nebraska Farm Series. So I built the farm from the layout as best I could in the game to match my uncle's farm. And from what I can remember when I used to go down there, I built the equipment out to be roughly the same. That was a really fun series because you're doing stuff that looked familiar.
Well,
you're driving around. And it's like I always wanted to go back down there and reconnect. But since he's not sold off the farm, but the guy who always ran the combine, him and his son took it over.
Interesting.
And that's kind of where I wanted to get this conversation too, because, you know, Madden football.
Oh, yeah.
You know, I mean, that's a franchise. That's a thing of itself. That's a monster. When John Madden was designing that back in the 90s, he wanted it to just be an educational tool for players. Like you go to this video game and then you type in a play and then you see where everybody goes and you figure out, is that right?
Oh,
is that wrong?
Really?
Yeah, that's all he wanted out of it, was to be able to teach his current players, expedite the teaching curve, basically. And then it turned into what it is.
Then EA got involved and everything's a paywall.
Right? That's like you like to say, that's a whole nother story unto itself.
Yeah.
But I'm thinking with this, there has to be a couple, and I know it's early on for you, but case in points where you take a farm, you do a thing, and you find out, oh my God, that's not going to work. Like, have you ever taken virtual knowledge and put it into the real world? Like, that's not going to work. Like, you use a certain type of a rake, and you're like, that's too small of a rake for this type of a field, something like that.
Like it worked in the game, but it wouldn't work in...
Yeah, you're taking knowledge that you learned from the game.
There's things you can tell that would be from the game that will never work in real life, because even American Farming does this. You can take one of those Balzer 2000 grain carts, or 3000, whichever one, the triaxle. I mean, this thing's like 2,000-3,000 bushel. You can pull that in American Farming with a Farmall Super M.
Yeah.
You'd be snapping the drawbar.
Yeah.
I mean, there's visual stuff that you can just tell. It's like that's never going to work.
Oh, my God. You guys are speaking Spanish.
But like, do you guys know Ben Van Rockel then? Van Rockel Farms at all?
Uh-uh.
Okay. Well, either way, Ben is another Southern Iowa family farm, kind of like Welkers and Millennial and all those guys. Well, I think it was 2 years ago or 3 years ago now, he came out and did custom tiling for Grant and I.
Okay.
Well, Grant and Spencer, when they originally were still doing all their stuff down south. And Ben is etched in my head because I was the guy who strung the tile cart. And he goes, don't F up the table, because on the back side, there's two flaps that you use to tip the table back and load the new spool on. And that blade, I'm not a guy who does a lot of the CAD modeling to make those 3D visuals, but something that you always have to do is you have to find out how to be different, how to stick out. I mean, this is a simulation-based game. There are millions of people that are putting out content. You got to find out how to be different.
Mm-hmm.
So I took time out of my day and went into the CAD software, and I hand-modeled from scratch a SoilMax tile plow. It was trying to get the one resembled on the back of Ben's quad track, which was a tandem axle big blade pull behind.
Mm-hmm.
Now, when I finally got all that stuff done, the video came out. It was so I got it working just about as good as you could get. I made the tile cart from scratch. I made the blade from scratch. Looked good. Performed what I needed it to do, because there's only so much you can do when something's not a game feature.
Mm-hmm.
But the video itself, when I look back, I made like a really, really long mega cut version where it was took 10 episodes and crunched it all into one binge watching thing. That video, I think, was like 40 minutes long. When I chopped it back down to what I wanted, it was like 18 with my modern styles. I'm like, oh, that's a lot of dead air.
You learn, right?
Yeah, we do. We really do.
And for a reference of yours, when he said Super M tractor, that's that rusted out tractor between my parents' house and the cabin that you guys stayed at. Had a tree growing between the bucket.
Oh, picture a tractor in the 40s. That's a Super M. Front. I mean, that's a tiny little thing.
Yeah. Okay. All right.
So when you were in high school, did your school or any schools you were aware of have like these gaming sports that kids could do in school?
No.
And that's not even that long ago, because you said you graduated 21?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
The problem with our district right now is that I have nothing really against my school district, but the one thing that just, it always kind of goes to me is they always try to do what Lincoln does.
Mm-hmm.
And we're out in the middle of nowhere where the high school is the closest thing to the actual city. But because the high school is in Lancaster, they do a lot of stuff that they're trying to do with sure. Lincoln, modernize, yeah. which is okay. But we don't necessarily have the infrastructure to yeah. really yeah. do a lot of this stuff.
Yeah.
So it's pick and choose on it. When I graduated, they were just getting into the people using Chromebooks, people using yeah. all the technology. Yeah. I mean, the high school is based on an old military site. So all of the walls are basically lined with lead. You can't get reception if your life depended
That's
on it.
That's what's going on with you.
Mm-hmm.
The lead.
Oh, dude, I'm so screwed up. It's not even funny.
Wait,
not
so
really, but
can we name drop the school? What are we what school are we talking about?
I better not say.
Okay. Well, you can tell right. me. I'm just trying to figure out.
I was there from K to 12, and overall, I love my experience there. Yeah. I had a lot of great connections with the faculty. I mean, a lot of them have now either retired or have moved on since even in that time, because it was an older set of faculty when I was there, and now they all got fresh people, fresh administration.
But it was a class C or D?
I think when I was there, it was C1.
I got you.
But okay. Now they're C2.
I'm just trying to visually think. Obviously, size-wise. Size-wise.
So it's interesting what those schools are doing now, and I don't know the details, but at our son's school here in small area, they have like teams that do this, mm-hmm. and they go and they compete at state. You know, they're mm-hmm. playing all these games.
Yeah.
We know a couple of folks that are involved that we've spoke to about. It's an interesting thing, and there's a lot of kids yeah. that get a lot of benefit out of it.
Oh, my God. Mm-hmm. He's a case in point where, you know, you always had that stigma like, you're wasting your time on video games. No, yeah. This guy's knocking down more than both of us.
Right. You know? Absolutely.
He's doing what he wants to do. I'm, like, envious. And your local colleges here are catching on, too. Like, Wayne State has one mm-hmm. hell of a program. I think we're actually going to televise. Oh, yeah. I think we're actually going to televise some of their competitions.
What do they call that? Is that called
EA?
Esports.
Yeah.
EA.
Yeah.
Okay.
Michael Sevier, his son, actually got a scholarship there.
Dang.
Remember we had him on?
Wow. Yeah.
Yeah.
Joel's talked about it, and I'm like, no. I think I literally said that.
Which, just, I mean, no.
I was like, how about the real thing?
The one thing I will tell anybody that wants to get into this, I mean, it is such an interesting field because, like I said, there's no way to do it right. There's no way. I mean, there's a lot of ways you can do it wrong, but the hard thing to tell people is that, like, when I got my fiance, when I originally met her, and when I was trying to look to find somebody who wanted to spend the rest of their life with me, I'm going, you have to walk up to their parents when they ask you what you do and go, yeah. I play video games for a living. That does not ring off the tongue very well. So even just to find out what I was doing when I walked across the stage at graduation, we had like a 3-month ordeal just trying to figure out what they were going to say.
Yeah.
Because I never went for any scholarships, never went to any college, never went to anything. I mean, I literally have been doing this played by ear since day one. And we ended up going with entrepreneurial opportunities. Because that's about the best thing that we could have done.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You didn't want to say, I dominate Miami. What is that variation of the game we were talking about earlier?
Oh, the shooting game?
Yeah, that was a lot of fun. Yeah. Grand Theft Auto.
I dominated Grand Theft Auto 5.
Grand Theft Auto Miami was my
bitch. Speed run story mode.
There you go, yeah. But they didn't go for that.
Let me ask, were your parents supportive? Or were they like,
80% of the time.
Okay.
That's huge. That's good.
My dad, he took quite a while to warm up to it, but this was, I mean, right when I was getting this stuff started, this is why it's amazing that I'm even still here doing any of this. Right when my parents technically were splitting is when I got this going, and my computer setup was at my dad's house, and my mom was living slightly down the road at an older apartment complex that was my place before where I live now. Until I graduated. So I'm separated. My parents are like 4 blocks away from each other because she wanted to make the promise that she'll stay here until I graduate. And she was the number one. Anybody who in my comment section that says, I'm your number one fan, I'm like, no, you're not. It's my mom. She has been behind this since day one, even if when she didn't understand it. She would help me when times were tough. She would try to give me information or advice. She'd be there when things were great, things were bad. I mean, she was through the thick and the thin of every single corner.
My dad, on the other hand, bless his heart, but he just did not understand what was going on. Yeah. And to be fair, I didn't even know what was going on. Yeah. There are a lot of things that I look back now that I'm going, it was supposed to happen this way. You were supposed to have each and every card fall the way it did. Otherwise, you would not be here doing anything.
You know, would you say, I'm just kind of listening to you work through this right now, and I think from what I'm gathering, and correct me if I'm wrong, you needed that balance. You needed support from your mom, but then you also needed a skeptic and your dad saying, you know, giving you an obstacle, giving you a hurdle. Because without that hurdle, like, I don't know. I don't know if you would have had the drive. I don't know if you would have had that little burning sensation inside you saying, no, watch this. I can make it happen. I really think you need a little bit of that adversity in order to make things happen.
There is. And there is a lot more adversity than there ever will be support. Mm-hmm. In this field, it is you prove it before you say it. Because if you just say it, no one will believe you.
That's real world. That's not just virtual.
That's what I was going to say. That's right. That is real world because you needed to prove your dad wrong, kind of.
Yeah, I remember the first time because there was my favorite one always had to be, love your dad before I say any of this. This is not going to affect you. The best one always is when he came in one night and I was sitting on the computer. It's like 11:30. I think it might have been a school night, but either way, it's 11:30. I'm trying to just tweak on something. This is the period where I'm like, I'm not building a business. I'm just farting around doing stuff because I'm getting paid already at this point. And he goes, shut the computer off. You're wasting my electric bill. And then the next morning I flash him a PayPal going, funny, then why do I have someone sending me money for $1,000 that I'm working with him? And that he stopped in his tracks like, oh.
Yeah, that does
Why are you getting paid?
Why are you getting paid?
Because he was so confused on what I was doing. No one knows what I was doing. I'm like, I'm just trying to do something here where I'm making money.
And you were like, what were you, like a junior, senior in high school or something?
I think it has been somewhere in that ballpark.
Yeah.
And then did he hand you the electric bill? He goes, oh, good, you can cover this.
Right.
No, that was the one thing is that I always tried to offer certain things. I mean, growing up, that was one of the best things that I could have had against me is that I never really caused trouble.
Yeah.
When we go to the store, I'd be like, you want anything? No. I was never really needy. I mean, I knew I was needy when I was, well, I wouldn't even say this big because my head's been the same size since day one. I had to grow into this thing. My neck's so big, so I walk around like a bobblehead. It is kind of big.
Oh, my gosh.
No. Dude, when I wear a Richardson hat, I got to put it like on the
I have
the
a
back
big head,
three.
Too, so it's okay.
We can order like extra large ones. We'll do that.
Yeah, you literally need those for those because otherwise I'm going to be stretching them all out. I'm going to need some new mowing hats, all right?
I think what you're saying there is like when your dad, and speaking as a dad, when your dad realized that you weren't just wasting your time, that you were actually doing something that was moving you forward and you were making some money, all of a sudden it wasn't like, oh, okay, well, now you need to earn your keep pay here. It was like, oh, wow, you are accomplishing something here.
Yeah, I mean, you literally could be our kid because our kid is your age.
Say I'm 22.
Well, our oldest is.
Yeah, our oldest is older than you.
No, is she 23?
She's 23.
Yeah.
Yeah, so thanks. You said speaking from a dad, I was thinking, oh my gosh, you are so young.
I'm just saying, like, as a dad, you would see that and you'd be like, oh, my kid does go in the back room and play these freaking video games.
Yes. No, I would.
And then you wake up and it's 11:30 and you're like, what the fuck is he doing? And you walk back there and you're like,
that's exactly how it happened.
The computer off. And then the next day you show me $1,000 payout and I'm like, whoa.
Oh, hot damn.
Hold on a second. What's going on here?
Yeah.
Well, you know, sticking up for dads. Yeah. I mean,
and it's perfectly logical. Yeah. Too. Go ahead.
Yeah. I want you to get your rest. I want you to be able to perform at school. I don't want the teachers waking you up, you know, all those things.
Yeah.
But then you show the PayPal account, and now I'm thinking, oh, shit. He stayed up after hours to make that happen.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like, you're showing so many things with that.
Yeah.
Kid Rock has a great story like that where his dad was always like bagging on that R&B hip hop music crap, what your rap crap you're doing. Bob, he wasn't going to give it up. Kid Rock wasn't going to give it up, you know, and he was broke for a long time. And then finally a record label picked him up, and he was that when he exploded like in 1999, he was just cashing check after check after check, like, and they were all for over $1 million.
Oh.
And that was weekly checks, royalties.
Mm.
And he would run a copy on a copy machine and mail it to his dad. He did that for about a week straight, just those $1 million checks he was cashing.
Wait, side note, his name is Bob?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Okay. Mm-hmm. All right.
So what I've also found interesting, what I want to get into a little bit is today, not only are you doing this thing and this is how you're making money and so on and so forth on these, on the video games and the YouTubing and that, but you are actually still working with your hands, which you said, you've said from the beginning here that you enjoy doing, and you're actually getting out and doing actual farming, working in the field. You, as a matter of fact, just yesterday, this is what you were doing. You're kind of coming from there to here. So tell us a little bit about that, what you got going on.
The trip itself?
Well, I mean, just the just that work. Like, what is that work you're doing on the in the field, and how is that working for you?
Well, it's always a fun one when it comes to the Hilberts, because they've called me out. Usually it's either planting, harvesting, or tiling. And it's mainly been tiling.
Okay.
But the issue is that with Mother Nature and being in the Midwest, they'll call me out saying, we're going to go run laterals. We're going to pull these tiles in, 30-foot spacings. We'll just load the spools and go. We get out there and we don't even do anything that he just said. I'm like, yeah. I'm still technically getting paid to do all this, but it's like I'm standing around doing nothing for 6 hours, and I'm expected to, like, I'm going to be sitting in a cab to 4020, pulling a tile stringer, doing all this, cutting, putting caps on, taping the thing so he can run the thing, and now we're changing the oil on the tractor, and the wind's blowing, and it's cold, and I'm just, it's easier for me just to stay out of the way. So the first trip, this was my longest trip that I've gone on, of at least for every way it could have went.
Mm-hmm.
I planned to be gone in a little town called Sublette, Illinois for their, this would have been, I think, the 41st annual antique toy and tractor show. Started as a toy show, but then people started bringing their old antique tractors, mm-hmm. and then the rest is history. So that was only supposed to be the 15th and the 16th, the weekend, Saturday, Sunday. Well, that show I heard about from Andy. Andy and I, we originally met at Farm Progress in Decatur 2 years ago,
mm-hmm. okay.
because of my buddy Marty. Well, I always say his Marty, but Matt from Prairie State Tractor.
Oh, yeah.
And Prairie State Tractor is backlogged all the way to when we did all this farming stuff with Grant and whatever. I was using one of the local dealers, and they contacted saying, can you take our name off of that? We didn't, like, what? And Marty was so confused when I'd tell him that, same as Andy, like, why would you not want the free marketing? It was like, you're not even have to pay us. You just put the name. I mean, from a, we don't know what you're doing with our name.
Right,
we don't know
right,
that. We just never expected it to go mainstream. Well, I ran my own individual name. I called it Wood River Equipment for a while. And then Marty from Prairie State goes, how do we get our name on the side of the building? So then meet Marty, talk to him, get stuff. And here we are now at Sublette. Well, Sublette, it's a 7.5-hour drive for me. I'm like, that's not terrible. You can do that in one day. You're perfectly fine. But Des Moines' right in the middle of that. You drive 2.5 hours to get to there. And then they're like, hey, could you come out here and help us with farm work? I'm like, you're going to have to probably pay me what I make on a day, video in a week, because I got to plan ahead. I got to get videos out. And we go out there. We're changing oil and doing all this stuff for 2 days. We don't do anything that I was told that was out there. They're like, why are you getting mad? You're still getting paid to do nothing. I'm like, that's the problem. I like being productive. I like to try and do something. Yeah,
but isn't that typical, like in farming? I mean, things don't ever go planned. Okay, so you're not saying anything.
No, I mean,
abnormal.
I like to have somewhat of a schedule now. Ever since I did the whole October 23 thing, I mean, there's a reason that I say I started doing stuff then. We can get to that, but there's a reason for that. But I go out there, I want to try to be productive, I want to try and stay on schedule, and that's what we had happen. Well, all of a sudden, this bomb cyclone that was coming through, that with the original first thunderstorm wave,
mm-hmm.
the Illinois track where we're sitting, right where the red meets the orange, is right where this show is supposed to be. And it's, I mean, St. Louis area is where the main tornado threats are supposed to be bad, but this is still within the, do you want to risk that? So I talked to Andy on Thursday night, and he go, I'm like, I might just drive out there tonight, because we had to record his new ceramic coating that's coming out. We were going to do that on an 8R370 in the Dixon, Illinois, Prairie State, now Heritage Tractor location.
Yeah.
So I drive all the way out to Illinois on Thursday night, 3.5 hours to get there. And we stay in the hotel there. We get up. We do all of this stuff. I got all the way out there and realized I left my big camera batteries and my microphone set up in the back of Spencer's Ranger in Ames, 3 hours away. Well, that sucks. So now I call Marty, and Marty's like, hey, I call him like, do you have any sort of microphone set up? I know you do the social media stuff. Do you have anything? Because Mendota, where he's at, is 30 minutes south. He has it, so I book it another 30 minutes back and then 30 minutes back to the dealer, and we get this thing recorded. It's Friday.
And I'm like, okay, I have a garage that I can put my car in and a place to sleep if I just head back to Iowa and get out of the main line of fire. So I did. I drove another 3.5 hours back on Friday night to stay in Iowa. And then I leave at 5:30 the next morning to go right back for the trade show. So within the span of just 48 hours, I've already traversed over an extra probably 400 miles mm-hmm. that I did not plan for. Actually 440 because of the drive down and back to the dealer. Mm-hmm. And then we get all this stuff, and of course nothing really happens, but I'm not willing to take that chance in the Midwest. And then I'm coming back from the Illinois show on Sunday, and they're going, what do we got to do to have you out here for tiling? It's good enough to go. We're just pulling laterals. What's the price? And I'm like, I just want to go home.
No price.
And then Spencer, we all go out. Spencer and I go out to dinner with his fiance, and they're just like, so if I paid you $1 million tomorrow, would you stay? I'm like, yes. So okay, so there is a price. And I'm like, Spencer, I hate you right now.
There's always a number.
There is. And I'm like, we finally made a deal, and I stayed till Tuesday at like 3 o'clock. And then I just booked it home.
Mm-hmm.
And now, of course, we just had the great Nebraska blizzard of 2025. And conveniently, my place was in the line of fire. And now we're out of power for like the next 2 to 3 days. So
you're saying you're that popular, basically. That's what he's saying, guys.
Well,
he's popular.
In demand.
Yeah. I'm probably you're the guy.
I'm a guy that can walk around Farm Progress and get recognized a few times. But it's nice enough that I'm not like, I never see myself really as a celebrity. I'm just your average Joe. Like, what you see behind the camera is what you're going to see in person. Now, I can only talk and interact with you so much, but I try to give that persona off that I'm just a warm, welcome person, that if you want to have a nice conversation and you don't feel like you have a friend in the world that has a listening ear, tune on in, because that's mm-hmm. even what we do on our streams. My streams, I don't even monetize those streams because I call it 3800 the buck. It's my Spotify playlist that's a radio station, has over 700 plus songs of 44 hours of playback time. I got like 3,800 saves on it now. And I mean, it's great. I have links in the description all for it. I got QR stuff. And it's just a way you can just talk with your audience. They don't get mm-hmm. any ad breaks for an hour and a half on a Saturday morning or whenever I can actually get to stream. We just hang out. If you want a fun thing by doing super chats or donations, that's what helps keeps the door open. But
sure.
Just have fun.
When you do that, throw you money? Yeah, they do that.
They can.
In the comments and stuff.
Do you ever put, like, throw anybody else money? I've seen people do that.
I've watched someone else on that, and I'll do it for them.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
But, like, in your videos, they'll be like, whoa, Beast, Mr. Beast, he just gave me $1,000. Like, have you ever done that? And someone's been so rad that you gave them money?
Actually, it was more of a TikTok thing that I did that with. Because every now and then at nighttime when I'd be scrolling through, I'd just see somebody who, almost kind of like just testing the waters to see if my name pops up. And if they're going, oh, and then... Because I've had a couple of them do that, and
yeah,
I actually met
a
few friends
cool.
doing it. And I've never done any content with like 98% of them, but there was a couple guys that I'm just like, I just go, nice tractor or something like in the thing. And then there'll be four or five people in the comments, and then the person behind the camera is like, there ain't no way that's the actual dude. And they look it up and like, that is it. What are you doing in my stream? I'm like, I'm just passing through.
Your people know you.
When you do like that streaming, with mm-hmm. When you said the show that you don't monetize or whatever on the Saturdays, on average, how many people are in on that?
Well, when it was the Farm Sim 22, which we don't know why, it never picked up in the views, it would be about 140, maybe 180. Well, since 25s came out and we've been kind of having a little bit better performing series, as we call them, I can get upwards of 500, 400 to 500.
So, and a lot of people don't realize this. When you're saying 140, 180, 500, you're not talking about 500 people.
Yeah, I'm talking about 500 people.
Oh, okay. I thought you were talking about like 500,000 or something like
no,
that.
No, it's just 500 people.
I gotcha. Yep.
Even Grant, when he does it, he only gets like 1,300 to 2,000.
And that's on the main streaming piece. Okay.
That's on YouTube.
So that's like you gotta
I used
be
to
on.
Do TikTok, and there was at one point in time where it was. I had, I think... We got it all the way up to like 1.3 million likes on the stream because TikTok mm-hmm. allows you just to do all that stuff. But I mean, that first week and a half, it was like boom season.
I mean, it was crazy. You'll get a lot more there. So then when you're like on your regular videos that, mm-hmm. you know, you're putting out constantly, what would be like an average download on that?
That's been a work in progress because I've wanted to make it better. It used to be in that 12,000 to 18,000 view range. Now I want nothing to be less than 20 to 25. Mm-hmm. And I've been doing that. Most of those videos now have been hitting the margin of even 30 to 40,000.
Yeah.
And that's on YouTube?
Yep.
So like on your typical live stream on YouTube, would you say you average about 100, or is that 500 on YouTube as well?
500 people watching?
On the stream.
I would say on the live stream it'd be nowadays probably closer to 300.
300? Okay. So then, and then from that, you'll let it go for about a day, and then it'll quickly turn into about 25,000 views, right?
No.
No?
Nope.
How much more?
Streams that never really were the main focus. It was always long form videos. Streams were just a way to connect with the audience and grow a wider range of just actual things. Like there was never really an intent of I don't really care to stream as much. I don't really care to really dive into all of the stuff that gets technical. I mean, I'm probably one of the weirdest content creators you'll probably ever meet.
I love it. It showcases that there's more than one way to do it.
Yeah, I agree.
So talk to us about, because we're kind of getting close to what typically we do time-wise. Talk to us about October of 23 that you were mentioning.
So October of 23, at this point now, Grant and I, we had a contract deal. I used to originally work for him and I did salary. But I wasn't doing anything for my own business at this point. Like I'm maybe 1, 2, 3 videos a month max. Just didn't really. I mean, just floating along, getting a nice paycheck every single week. And I'll be honest, it was $48,000 a year. And that's what my dad at that point, I'm like, it worked it up where I was almost making $3,000-$4,000 a month. And I'm 17, 18 years old. So at that point, I'm going, shut up, Dad. I know what I'm doing. I'm doing all this stuff, blah, 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 blah.
Right.
Now I'm a young, dumb kid that did not necessarily have a whole bunch of financial backing of knowledge to really know how to save, what to save, what to do. I mean, it was crammed down the put money away, put money away. But there was never any actual, I did not have some sort of an experience on how to do this. I was just young, dumb, stupid, making money. And when I did my taxes that year, I still to this day want to kick my butt for May. But leading up to that year, I spent almost over $10,000 in 1 month on just random stuff in the month of May. That I put like $3,400 into the front end of my red Oldsmobile for hood, paint, whatever, like all that stuff. And in June of 23... I was up late at night one time just doing whatever, and I would do the email stuff, and there was one person that I clicked on the link at 12:03, way too tired, and I got hacked and lost the channel an hour and 10 minutes the following day. It was June 27th at 12:03. I got the thing from YouTube going, we've taken down your channel for the safety reasons that it has been compromised. The problem at that point was that the email that I used controlled everything from my finances to the channel to banking to, I mean, everything under the, almost under the sun was controlled by this one email, and I lost access to that email. It was gone, locked. So now I'm driving way too fast home from Seward just to get myself home to figure out what's going on here. And I'm sitting at my computer just absolutely freaking out. I had no idea what to do. Well, conveniently, another guy in our thing kind of had something similar happen, and they gave me some stuff. I had to go through Twitter, now X, to contact YouTube to go, I lost all of my stuff. How can I get it back? And through somehow managed way, I got the email back. And then I went on a two-week hiatus of getting the computer reworked in Papillion at Schrock Innovations. They tore apart the thing. We got it all figured out, put it back together, and put some new hardware in. So that way I could bump up the computer, try to get it beefed up. But more importantly, the hackers like technically cloned the desktop or something where they could just remote it into everything. They only took down the channel. Everything else was left untouched. So for that, I was very, very lucky. But it was a shock and a scare of a lifetime. But over the next course of those 6 months between May to October area, I went into a complete like shutdown mode. Just blowing through money, blowing through savings, because at this point, Squad Built's now going down, and I lost that thing where I wasn't active to record with Grant for like a month. And we're looking at him going, this isn't logical for you to be paying me this much money a week and a month when we're not doing anything, because we can't, we're recording maybe twice, once or twice a week. We used to do three or four. And it just, I mean, there was a point one time where we did a, like one video over the course of 3 weeks. I'm like, this isn't right. So we switched it to hourly. And the hours just kept getting smaller and smaller and smaller. And my own channel was not making very much on that. So by the time October rolled around, I had no money to my name. Literally, I had scraped the bottom of every barrel that I had. I was maxed out on credit card debt with 32% interest.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, boy.
And I have, like, no food in my fridge. I am just basically sitting at my computer in my underwear eating a jar of peanut butter, because that's about all I had at that point.
Ugh.
And I, for some odd reason, I don't know why, but I saw in, like, you could visualize, they're not actually there, but you could just see it. And I saw a small child standing next to me, and they went, "Dad, I am hungry." And all I could look at that child at this point in time, and all I could just say to them was, "I cannot help you. This is all I have."
Ugh.
And the next morning when I woke up, I said, "You got to change something. You have to, I don't know what you are doing. Get your ass in gear and put your foot to the floor and do what the heck you were supposed to do."
Mm-hmm.
And from that point forth, for the next 3 months, I turned October around of 23 from being a month where I was only supposed to make like $250. Grant, at this point, we weren't recording, so I was making no money from him. I turned a month around from what was supposed to be $300, $400 to $2,600. I put out 3 videos a week. I did overnight hours. I was crunching. I had lists. I had checklists. I had everything under the sun. And for 3 months, back to back to back, right into quarter four, I had my absolute best month on record in December of 23. And I leaded that into the next year. And I always told myself that if I can figure out the difference between a nice guy and a good man, things are going to start opening up. And sure as can be, when I put that foot to the grindstone, October 12th was the first video that ever launched of this. It was some walking around video somewhere. But the week after, it was boom, 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 boom. Things were starting to line up. And I was pushing snow up at my sister's in December because of all the snow stuff, and she broke her foot or something at work. And I'm like, things are going right. You're going to get yourself going. You're going to figure this one out. And at this point, I'd been very relationshiply struggling. I never could find anybody that I was trying to just even get a remote connection with, even just to say hi, and they actually kept talking. Mm-hmm. And then January 21st happened, and the girl I'm with now is the one that's been there since day one. I told her like 3 weeks in, I'm like, "You're probably the girl I'm going to marry." I'd be stupid if she wasn't.
That didn't scare her?
No.
Oh, well, no, there you
not
go.
Not even in the slightest. I mean, and over the course of that year, we had a really dry spell in March, and at this point, I'm still paying off debt. I'm able to make my payments, and every now and then, my mom had to help me out, and then once in a blue moon, I'd ask my dad, and he was all supportive at this point. Like, mm-hmm. It was just, I never really talked with anybody about it. Well, then it comes back around, and it's now tax season, so I'm going to sublet for the first time. And what people technically didn't know about it, I mean, there's a few people I told this year about it, is when I went out to sublet Illinois that year, I basically had 2 pennies to throw around in my pocket. And I had a group of the kids. They were all like, "Oh, hey, bud, how are you doing? Hey, it's so cool to see you here." And
These are the kids that are watching you on YouTube.
Yeah. I mean, it ranged from probably age 5 to 16, 17 mm-hmm. years old.
Like, fake it till you make it?
Not even that. Like, I parked down by where they have this old schoolhouse that's now a community building, and I had to go grab my camera stuff out of the truck. And there was one kid that looked and he went, "You don't have a truck? Like, you don't, I thought all YouTubers had big trucks and lots of money." And I'm going, I wanted to look at this kid and go, "Dude, I spent my last dime to get out here. And all you can look at me is going, you don't have a pickup." And I think his dad was one that owned like a seed shop or was someone who did something with like Goodyear. I
mean, yeah.
It's not his fault. We're all born into different situations. So over the course of that time, now it's also tax season. I'm getting horrified because self-employment tax, 35%, thank you. Regardless of how much you make, you are going to get slammed. And then I also got contacted with a place where I'm living now. And it was, "Hey, you should move." So now it's tax season. I'm traveling. I got people on the phone wanting me to move. And I am a mental train wreck, absolute mental train wreck. A couple months before, there was one of those nights where, I mean, I'm just screaming. I'm literally in the corner of my house, bawling my eyes out, screaming. I am punching my toolbox as hard as I can with my fist. About broke my knuckle. That dent is still on the toolbox to that day. And I said, I will never, ever get that mad again. There was always a way around that. And even in March, I held through and I punched through it. And we got into the summer months again and things started picking right back up. But then as we came back around to when I met you guys at Farm Progress, I still wasn't even in that mental game of building the business yet because I had no organization. My channel name, which is The Rental Man Buck originally, came from a joke that we did in a video. We all pulled up in a McDonald's parking lot. Everyone had the fifth wheel campers that you pull behind your truck. I was the only one that rolled up in a Ford RV. And Grant looked at me and said, Buck, is that a rental? And it just stuck with us ever since. Well, that camper, I took a front picture of it and just put Rental Man Buck underneath
it. Yeah, I've seen those images.
Well, then I changed it to the deer logo, the sticker I gave you guys, and I just ran with that. Well, when I changed it to the deer, it never made sense because why are you known as the Rental Man and you got a deer as your icon?
Yeah.
Well, played through with it, and I just kept going, kept making things better. And as December came around, I was on the phone with a guy named Dave. Now, Dave is known around the farm sim community for server stuff. I mean, a lot of people have heard of the guy. Well, he was talking to me about something, and all of a sudden it came up going, "But what is your tagline? You want to do this?" Because we were talking about me and server stuff. He goes, "I don't know, bucked up. I mean, I like everything's just bucked up." And he goes, "Dude, you need to market that." It wasn't even like to change the whole channel name. It was just what we were doing for the tagline. If you want to get bucked up, go check out this in the description. And I went, wait a damn minute. And I spent hours. I mean, I spent 3, 4, 5, 6 hours in one day just rebranding, thinking of this, asking opinions, asking this, showing different models, doing all. And then by December 1st of 24, I've been running the Bucked Up name ever since. Hmm. I still keep my Rental Man Buck tagline. When you go on YouTube and look at the at symbol, it still says Rental Man Buck. Everyone knows me as that.
Yeah.
It'd be stupid to change it. But the Bucked Up name itself is what, I mean, it is the most drive. It is the most organization, and it is the most guidance I've ever had in my entire life on this. Because, again, I never had any guidance. I had to teach myself how to edit. I had to teach myself how to play. I had to teach myself how to communicate. Everything under the sun. I had to figure out through adversity how to find it.
Mm-hmm.
So there are ways to do it when you can work from the ground up. It Absolutely. Is possible for anyone.
That's awesome.
But you have to, I mean, you have to have a mind of a steel. You have to have some guts.
Well, and also your ears were open at that time because Bucked Up slapped you in the face and you couldn't ignore it.
Mm-hmm.
And there's some really neat stories coming out of a guy from Pawnee City in Nebraska, Get Her Done, Larry the Cable Guy.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
That was a bit. That was just a joke. And then that's how people learned it.
He's still my favorite tow truck.
Yeah. Yeah, Mater. Well, the point is he tried to fight that whole thing early on. He didn't want to get boxed in as just Larry the Cable Guy, the Get Her Done guy.
Mm-hmm.
And one of his promoters was just selling out stages and venues left and right. He goes, I'm calling you Larry the Cable Guy, just so you know that. You might not want to be marketed that way, but if you want to sell out arenas, this is what we're doing. And so once he saw a couple of big venues sold out, he's like, okay, I'm Larry the Cable Guy. You're right.
I'll take it.
We got it. And that's just your story Bucked Up reminded me of that. So
it's been that timeline that you just played out and all the things that you went through. It's been a little over a year since then.
Yep.
How are things today?
They're the best they've ever been. I'm a lot busier than I used to be. And there's ways that I can optimize and modernize that, but that just comes with time.
Yeah,
I know that especially with life going the way that it is, I would not have had it any other way. I would never have ever wanted this to be some way different.
Mm-hmm.
What I'm doing now is probably the greatest opportunity that I could have been given, but you do have to play your cards right, and it is a learning curve on every single way. So anybody that wants to really get into it, there's guts and grit that go into it. But I also did it the hard way. My buddy, Nate, I actually, at one point in time, this was right around the start of when Grant and I were trying to do the whole farm prof, whatever it was for American farming. I had like this membership tier that it was, if you want to be on the front lines with us, you pay $35 basically one time. It was a $35 a month, but you just pay $35. Mm-hmm. I set up a game and we see what you got behind a camera. And my buddy Nate, Fearsome Rhino 2, he signed up. I think he's my second or third person. And within 10 seconds of seeing this guy behind a camera, I went, you got it. And I told Grant the next day, I'm like, we got a guy. Because Grant always wanted to throw someone in there. I'm like, I'm sorry, dude. No. Your picking of people is horrible. You'll just take the first guy off there. I mean, it's nothing against them. There's a certain criteria that you got for the level that we're going and someone who wants to make this happen. I knew Nate had it within 5 seconds.
Yeah.
And it took him a little while to get going, but now the guy within a year has taken a channel from absolutely nothing to a channel now that's pushed over 74,000 subscribers.
Interesting.
Wow.
I've only got one other thing. I don't know if you guys have anything, but something you said there, and I just want to go through it real quick. And I don't know if there's something to this, but you said you were trying to figure out the difference between a good guy and a real man or something. What was it that you said? What was the...
When I can find the difference between being a nice guy and a good man, things will start to open. Nice guy
and a good man. What does that mean?
I'm a very bad people pleaser. I always do. I'm like, oh, what can I do for here? What can I do for you here? What can I do for this here? And I would burn myself out every single which way. And I would never do what I needed to do for myself to make sure things happen. Like, there's a difference between I put a lot more people and a lot more stuff in front of me first. Mm-hmm. I didn't take care of myself. I didn't feed myself. I was not taking care of what mattered most. And the people that I was around, the situations I got myself into, I'm going, this is not good. This is not sustainable. You have to find where the balance is between fun and business.
Mm-hmm.
So even in the stuff in the chats, it's like I used to be, oh, yeah, let's do blah, 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 blah. And I'm like, we're not doing caps. If you don't have certain things, you don't get the things that you're all doing all this. I mean, I can be a really stickler. There's times in those streams where it's like I can be a literal asshole. But I'm going, you have to find the system. You have to make sure you can keep things in line. And there's people that if they get nabby at you, you have to go, well, it's my business, not yours, so you can can it.
Yeah.
You don't like it. You never had to click on the video in the first place. If I have to make one person mad to appease the rest, it's like,
sure,
you got to.
Yeah, you can't please them all.
As Dave Ramsey says, you got to find where the line is.
Makes sense. Makes sense. I like it.
Mm. Yeah.
Man, do you guys have any other questions?
I learned a lot. Yeah, I'm about to pull up his videos tonight.
Yeah, super
check out Bucked Up, guys. Go Bucked Up.
So let's get into that. Where do the folks find you? Where do you want to point people to?
So the main platform is always and probably will be YouTube. Mm-hmm. That's just really easy way. You can look me up at Rentalman Buck or Bucked Up itself, BUCHDUP.
Yep.
Look for the big red deer head. And I occasionally do some stuff posting on TikTok, but ever since the whole we couldn't figure out what was going on,
mm-hmm.
I swapped more to Instagram. So Instagram, everything is just known as Bucked Up now, but that's just the easy way to find. It's a TikTok, Instagram, and YouTube.
Nice. And here very soon, folks are going to be able to find your merch on the Farm Focused website.
Which I'm very excited about.
It's going to be cool. So farmfocused.com, and then you'll be able to find your brand and click there and check it out. Folks who are listening to the podcast know. And on the Farm Focused website, you can use the code Common Folk, our podcast name,
mm-hmm.
and you'll get 20% off. So if folks want to go and check out your stuff, they'll save a little bit of money. Check out anything else on the website. And the last thing I wanted to give a shout out to one of the companies we work with, Barn Owl.
Yeah.
BarnOwl.tech. You know, you guys could probably use Barn Owl cameras in the simulator.
Ooh.
Where you can monitor different areas
that
of your farm
sweet.
With these cameras. You can probably do that anyway on the computer.
Gotta build that mod, bro. Gotta build that mod.
Are we talking about like actual security cameras?
Yeah, basically. Yeah.
Well, the only way I could do that is if I just make a mod where I can sit down on the seat and then I just change the cameras of stuff and it'd be like you're looking at severely.
We know a guy that could get him a camera.
Barn Owl folks.
Well, I need a CAD model. That's the thing. I need a 3D model. Because otherwise you'd have to talk to Grant about that because he's the only one that's got sheds that you can put cameras on.
We'll get you whatever you want. I bet Barn Owl honestly would be into this. It'd be cool.
That would be sweet.
So basically the Barn Owl cameras, we've got one set up on the road out here.
So that's how you can tell I parked in the wrong spot?
Yeah. It looks like a game cam, but it's got a couple antennas off of it, cellular connected. Goes to an app on your phone. You can check them out from anywhere. It gives you triggers when the things go off. But a lot of folks on farms and ranches are using them to monitor properties and mm-hmm. watch animals mm-hmm. and, you know, so on and so forth. But barnowl.tech, if anybody's listening, is looking for something like that. There's a lot of cool options there. And then there's a discount code, farmfocused, FOCUSED, all one word. You get 10% off of the Barn Owl stuff. But we've got some stuff planned for them this year, some more things that are coming that are going to be cool.
And Andy uses them out at his farm.
Yeah.
Yep.
Right?
Yeah, we got some pretty cool images because they've been out there, and Garrett's really been filling and refilling the deer feeders. It's a critical time for that. Now we're getting into spring turkey hunting.
Yeah.
So there's going to be all sorts of wild stuff
on this camera. Speaking of spring and Andy, If you haven't already checked it out, you got to go to your local John Deere dealers and get yourself a jug of Andy Clean. You got to get the world's greatest farm soap, all right?
Not everybody knows what Andy Clean is.
You do need to know what Andy Clean is, all right? Yeah. It is a great high-performance foam action foam cleaner. You can pick it up in any John Deere dealers. It's even got a part number with them. You got to pick. You can get them in a gallon jug, 5 gallon jugs. Even you, apparently, you told me you can get them in a 55 gallon jug, a 55 gallon barrel.
Jeez,
when did I start doing this? When did I do this?
Do what?
Oh, this is my buddy Andy. Yeah. Oh, the other Andy.
Yeah, we'll send him an invoice for the advertisement.
Right on.
No free promos.
Yeah, no free shoutouts. Yeah, right.
But do us a favor. Check out barnowl.tech. Use our code. Then they love us even more. So
and last thing, if you leave us a review, we'll send you a shirt, and all the guests get a shirt.
Can I just do it now so I don't even have to save on postage?
You can. We've got some gear for you, man. Go to the
Common Folk gear.
The Apple Podcast.
Spotify app. Started doing it too.
Oh,
they're doing. They just started comments. That. So yeah, awesome. If you're one of our Spotifyers out there, you know, give me a 1 star and tell me what we can do better. Maybe bump that up to a 3 star.
I don't want that 1 star.
I'll take whatever. I'll take all the stars.
Any star.
Here's three sad. Here's 3 cents and a sad ham sandwich. Yeah, go knock yourself out.
Exactly.
The reviews do help, so take some time if you got it.
Right on.
That's
so,
it.
Man, Chandler, thanks for coming, man. It's fun. It's been great to get to know you. Definitely some stories that I didn't expect. Hopefully the folks dig this. Like I said, it's a completely different topic, really, than what we've covered before. Oh, it's interesting.
Yeah, well, we've dabbled about around it, you know, because we've even had a couple just talking about video games.
Yeah,
but
right,
nothing
right.
like this. And it's fascinating.
Well, I appreciate all the guys having me come out here. I mean, it's one of those where when I talk to you guys at the show for 5 seconds, I feel more like the common folk guy that walks up to the table and it's like, I don't know how to describe, like to say hi, because you either know me or you think I'm an absolute weirdo that's just trying to act like he's bigger than he is. I'm like, I don't like that. So now that we've actually like, you kind of know who I am. I'm like, it's just something where you just walk up and just say hi and you know the people you wave and it's more of a connection. And that's why I was also really excited for the whole merchandise line, because these are the people that I want to work with most. When you have somebody who does an ad reel, that's why I work with Andy the way I do. I love Andy as just a friend. He was a friend before we were even business partners.
Mm-hmm.
And going to the shows with him, going to all these things, even Prairie State, Heritage. It's going to be hard to get that shift. I like Prairie State.
Yeah.
But Heritage, Andy, Spotter Studio, now Farm Focus. It's like all these communities. I've literally been able to sit down and talk face-to-face with someone who's either in the line or is the owner of something.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And I can make a connection and show them going, hey, these are the people I'm working with.
Yes.
And they don't skip the ads. Like I don't even take ad reels that go in my videos anymore.
Mm-hmm.
Because I'm like, I just say these guys and like, yeah, we know that. Like I'll just show a clean tractor and farming simulator. Everyone goes, that's Andy Clean.
Yep.
They just love it. That's why I'm so excited. Now even with Farm Focus itself, it's like the merchandise, I'm going, I got this. This is I know the owners, and I'm in the same state as them. So I'm having merch from my own state sent out. That's awesome.
Side story, and then I'll close it out. I've always thought it would be so cool, and it sounds like you're the guy that can do this. Get the farm-focused apparel. So whether it's a bucked shirt, it's a farm-focused shirt, it's whatever, in the game. Like, have that where someone can add that to their...
Ooh. What if I told you I've already done it with Ag Swag?
Can't wait to see it, man. Let's do it. Let's do it.
Well, the problem is I got to wait for the one mod called Wardrobe to come out, because that's how I can do it. But all you guys would have to do is just send me the PNGs, PDFs, or whatever you want to do. And that logo right there can go right on the side of a shirt, sweatshirt, hat, anything.
That'd be awesome.
It's super simple.
All right.
This goes far beyond just buying a hat and talking on a podcast. Hell this is why I like to do business. I mean, you itch your hand into every single market you can.
Right. Absolutely.
Because it makes it work. This is why business is so much fun. I get to wake up every morning. I get to be creative. That's all I get to do.
That's right, man. That's right. Well, cool. I guess that's what we got. You guys, anything else?
Yeah. No.
Chandler, this has been fun.
I could go for a nice hot meal right now because my stove's not working.
Yeah. Well, maybe we could go grab some lunch. I'm hungry.
We can do that. Let's do it.
All right, man. Well, I'm going to close it out. Thanks for coming, bud.
All right, absolutely. Peace. Thank you guys for having
me. We'll see you
later.